coming today. No one else I know can heal me this way. You traveled hill and dale, city by bus and city by rail. Now you're back in her arms again, my own holy grail. I drink you in, salt water, cinnamon. I drink you in, the poison and the medicine. You carry what you carry is no business but yours. You conceal and feel safety, and I pray you are. You carry what you carry grows heavier each time around. I pray for the day when we all may lay our arms to the ground. But until then, salt water and cinnamon. But until then, the poison needs the medicine. Try to be brave in the face of all it could give. Right out from under my feet, you know nothing here is solid. I try to be brave in the face of all that could give. But I have been known to fall prey to my own stomping. I drink it in, salt water and cinnamon. I drink it in, the poison needs her medicine. In the face of falsehood, my body already knows more than I ever can. She's a giver and taker of untold joys and sufferings. I drink you in. And the medicine.
was musician Erica Lundahl, who's been a resident elsewhere here in Paonia for the past 3.5 weeks with her song Poison in the Medicine. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So I heard about you around town, so I'm really glad you were able to sneak in here before you are leaving Thursday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're a musician, writer, and activist based in Seattle. How did Elsewhere end up on your radar, and what have you sort of taken away from your experience here?
Mm. Well, I heard about Elsewhere because a friend of mine who's a composer did a residency here last year, Jake Minter, and I went to college with him. We were in the improvisational choir. It was like an improvisational ensemble. And so he said, you know, I think you should check out Elsewhere. They're this really place-based residency. I think that the kind of work that you're doing would really be well suited for taking some time there to dig deeper in. So, I applied last October and was accepted for a month. Was so grateful. This is my first residency. The first moment that I've sort of had to take quite a chunk of time to dig into some projects that have been on the back burner. And it's been amazing. I wish that I could have at least 1 month out of every year that is just totally for myself and for art creation. And of course, the town's been really wonderful to be a part of as well. It's been very welcoming. Being here has allowed me to just sort of sit into some of the things that have happened over the last year. Politically, it's been an incredibly intense year, and a lot of what I write about has at least some sort of political component to it. And so having time allows you to connect the dots between mm-hmm. these different things that have happened and relate them.
You have such a clear voice and message in your music. How did you develop that? Why do you think that's an important way to express yourself in your art?
I think that there are things that we can say through beauty and through music that are hard to say in other ways, or that you can't share with the same audience. Music is my time to process different ideas, but also it's a platform to share experiences that I've had that other people maybe haven't had, or that, you know, or ideas that we're all kind of grappling with, and doing it in song gives a kind of spaciousness. For example, last year there was a protest called the Break Free Protest, or Break Free Actions, that happened all over the world, where people came to different points of oil extraction or oil refinement to say, you know, we can't do this anymore because of climate change, because of, broken treaties with indigenous peoples. And so I attended that and learned some songs there from various activists that were older than me, and then I was able to take those songs out on the road when I'm touring and share them and say, this is where I learned this, and it kind of opens up the conversation in a different way.
Who are some other artists that you really admire that are, you know, including social commentary in their music and sort of getting to the heart of the matter in that way?
Well, probably my earliest influence in that regard was Ani DiFranco, who just ignited my heart and my spirit. And, you know, when I first heard her music when I was 14, I thought, she sounds like me. I didn't know if people could say things like she was saying them, and just so bluntly and so poetically. And I wanted to do that. And then as I grew older, other artists sort of came into my sphere that spoke to different things. Ben Soli is a cellist songwriter that I started following when I was about 17. He does a lot of tours by bicycle, so he'll travel around the country playing shows and moving at a bicycle pace. So, you know, playing every 50 or so miles in a small town, and then you really can travel with the land and, you know, get to know the communities that you're playing in, and his music reflects that. And I went to a show of his, I think I was 19 when I saw him live for the first time, and he talked about mountaintop removal that happens in, you know, his home state of Kentucky and in the South. And I'd never heard of mountaintop removal before, and that kind of coal extraction, and it was formative to see somebody that I respected so much talking about that, and it led me to my own kind of exploration of how my own life is related to these local environmental issues.
And so in 2016, you released an EP called Brambles, and that was released under the name of Animals of Grace. And it's a compilation of 7 songs that you were quoted as saying that they're about the hard lessons we haven't learned yet. And, you know, there's many that we haven't learned yet, probably. And I think a lot of those lessons are being exposed in a way right now that I haven't seen in my lifetime. You're spending a lot of time thinking about these things, and it's a little overwhelming because it seems like a new issue that we have to explore about ourselves every week or something. Yeah, I'm wondering what your thoughts on that are. Why do you think it's all coming to a head, so to speak?
You mean like all sorts of different issues around climate change and oil extraction and indigenous rights and women's rights and the, you know, Me Too movement? And I mean, I think that we are at a precipice right now where we have to decide what kind of people we want to be. And, you know, obviously the election, I think, brought into sharper focus some of our problems. But there's a saying that I really like, that things aren't getting worse, they're being uncovered. And so many of our problems in culture end up lying just below the surface. And that becomes really poignant when you look at certain kinds of oil infrastructure. So the album Brambles I wrote after I took a bicycle pilgrimage along the Trans Mountain Oil Pipeline, which is an oil pipeline that runs from Edmonton, Alberta, and the tar sands and the third largest reserves of oil in the world down to Anacortes, Washington, which is just north of where I live. And this is a pipeline that's underground and carries 300,000 barrels per day of chemical-infused crude oil. And it's proposed to be expanded. And but most of the evidence of this sorts of infrastructure that is really going to be catastrophic when it comes to fighting climate change and being able to maintain our clean water systems and our clean air, you can't see it. It's out of sight, out of mind. And so these structures have been there a long time, and it's all of our jobs to try and uncover them and grapple with what they mean.
And if you're just joining us, I'm here with musician Erica Lundahl, who's been a resident at Elsewhere here in Paonia. I wanted to talk about a song that you included on Aim for the Center, which I heard today, which is your most recent live album. And it's definitely very relevant now to what's going on with the Me Too movement, I would say. Well, let's just hear the song, and then maybe we can talk a little bit about it, actually. Let's hear Yes, All Women.
Okay.
See, he tells me what to look for. He tells me to watch out. With his eyes on my bare shoulders, he says he'll look all over me. And then he wonders why I don't call him back, you see. You see, I got this clever explanation for my very strange behavior. I'm out of town forever. I got married by the river to my life. I will be my own wife. I will be my own. I will be my very own. I will be my own. I will be my very own.
See, there are people who will love you like a hurricane hits. And there are people who will love you like you're the thing that they can't quit. Oh, and when I call my lover crying to tell him my bad dream, oh, you can rest easy knowing, dear, that it was your face that I seen, and it was no dream. No dream. So if one man more tells me how he's gonna watch out for me tonight, I'm down 6 shots of whiskey straight and get in my first bar fight. I'm down 8 shots of whiskey straight and get in my first bar fight. I'm down 12 shots of whiskey straight and get in my first bar fight. He says I gotta love more. And then he says I gotta watch out for danger. Oh, he tells me, button up, girl. And when I don't hear hoots and hollers, oh, this is a strange world, ain't it? Getting stranger by the hour. But I will walk the streets at night because I just can't be bothered. So he tells me what to look for. He tells me to watch out. With his eyes on my bare shoulders, he says he'll look over me. And then he wonders why I don't call him back. You see, I got this clever explanation for my very strange behavior. I'm out of town. By the river to my life, I will be my own wife. I will be my own. I will be my very own. And I will be my own. I will be my very own. Oh yes, I'll be my own. I will be my very own.
What inspired that song? Because Yes, All Women is another sort of hashtag movement, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the Yes, All Women hashtag was born, I think, about 4 years ago. So it's a sort of predecessor to Me Too movement. It meant something very similar. It meant, yes, all women experience sexual harassment. I think that came around the time that Anita Sarkeesian, who is a feminist gamer and critic, started getting harassed and stalked, and I think had to leave her home. And that movement kind of gave me voice for a time in my life when I was stalked, being sexually harassed by somebody who I had met, one time before they kind of latched on, and it was someone who had some trouble, and then I had some trouble, and it was scary. It was a scary time, and I didn't really know how to talk about it afterwards. It's like a weird thing to admit that you've had to call the police to get someone to stop contacting you because you don't feel safe. And writing this song was my own contribution to that movement, mm-hmm. as well as me sort of opening up and giving language to the kind of triumphant resistance that also has to come along with admitting that you've, experienced these scary feelings of, shame or helplessness or just fear.
Mm-hmm. I love that line, I'll be my own wife. Yeah. That's so great. And if you're just joining us, I'm here with Erica Lundahl. I wish you were in town for a little bit longer. Will you come back, you think?
I would love to come back. Absolutely.
So your voice is so interesting to me because you're classically trained and you definitely have control over it. But there's this element of, I don't know where she's going to go with this too. So it's kind of nice because you're on the edge of like where, because it doesn't necessarily fit some formulaic melody always. What can you tell me about your background as a musician and as a singer?
Sure. Well, I started music in the Lutheran church, singing in the rock band with my dad. My dad's a guitarist, a singer, gave me my first guitar, this guitar actually. And then in high school, I started playing and also I was classically trained on the piano as well. Mendelssohn and Chopin and all of these amazing like polyphonic composers kind of get in my brain a little bit. But then in college, I studied classical voice. I was a music minor. So I was singing in German and in French and very, very high soprano coloratura stuff. And I really enjoy playing that music, but it's not a medium that I felt like I could say the kind of things that I wanted to say in the places I wanted to say them. You know, there's something radical about singing a political song in a bar when people aren't expecting it, or going into a house show that's intimate and has 20 people that you can have these very real conversations with. And so I was writing with guitar and voice and started playing with my partner, who's a drummer and a vocalist as well. And so just sort of over time, I've built up a repertoire of songs in kind of my own style. And I'm certainly heavily influenced by people like Joni Mitchell, who do nuts things with their voice and just go all over the board, but then still come back to a center of song structure that is based in this folk chorus, verse, chorus.
Mm-hmm. So we were talking about how so many issues are kind of being unveiled right now and looked at really and processed. We're kind of putting a lot of things on the table and evaluating them to some extent. I heard a song that you did, Land Shift was another one that I listened to on Bandcamp, and you quoted Angela Davis before you sang the song, and somebody had asked her in an interview, like, do you have any hope? And she answered, we must act as if there is hope. Where are you seeing hope right now, and what is giving you hope?
Hope is action for me in this moment in time. The sort of Amy Goodman was interviewing Angela Davis about the high rates of incarceration of Black men in this country and the state of solitary confinement and how it just seems to have gotten worse over the last generation. And so she asked Angela Davis, longtime, you know, civil rights activist who went to jail for what she believed in, you know, is there any hope for this to get better? And Angela said, we must act as if there is hope. And that's how hope works. It only works if you do it. You know, it's not a pipe dream. You know, we have to be acting out our belief system and standing up for what we believe in if there's any shot in hell that something's going to change. And I see this with the state of our climate movement, with the relationship that white folks have with Native folks and people of all different races. You have a lot of privilege as a white person in this country. And so it's not going to do anyone any good if I'm like, oh, I really hope that the state of the state of things gets better. If I'm the one with the most power here and I'm just like kind of hoping that someone else does it, then, you know, that's not a very hopeful thing.
Right. I feel like your hope grows the more active you are too.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're active, then you sort of believe that other people are too, or you're surrounded by people who are.
Yeah, the community is a really important part of it. Is when you are engaged, then you're engaged in community with other people, and you have this emotional support, because nobody's an island here. We have to take comfort in each other and learn from each other and learn from people who are different than us. And that's the only way that we're going to come up with the kinds of solutions that we need to solve the massive problems that we have right now. And kind of innovate, because we can't keep going the way that we've been doing, and we can't keep protesting the way that we've been protesting. If something's not proven to be working, then you have to try something else.
Right. Well, thank you so much for being here. This is Erica Lundahl. And if we could hear one more song, that would be wonderful.
Totally. This song is it's called Jack Be Nimble, and I wrote it after the immigrant ban that happened a little over a year ago. And I was quite sick on the night where everyone went to the airports to protest, but I was kind of watching from a distance and was so inspired by that, people not going to just protest in the streets in the standard way, but going directly to the airports to make a stand. And at the same time that was happening, that same week, there were protests that were happening in Seattle and around the country at various Wells Fargo branches and Chase banks and banks that are funding major fossil fuel infrastructure. And so by going directly to the banks, to the people funding these pipelines, it's powerful. And so anyway, this song's called Jack Be Nimble. It sort of came out of that agency conversation. Like, how do we actually make this change as opposed to just kind of doing what we've done? Fight the way they want you to. Color in the lines won't get your dewy. Gotta go to the far edge. Lean into the love, lean into the dread. They got paddy wagons by the courthouse where they are counting on you to be. So occupy them, airports. Start praying in the well. Lobby. Jack, be nimble. Jill, be quick. We'll jump over the candlestick. The flame is higher than it's ever been. If we don't playbook, but first we gotta play. Won't do no good spinning circles to bring down a god that's got no name. So Jack, be nimble. Jill, be quick. We'll jump over the candlestick. If we don't give it a go, the
down this door everything that ever came before, but won't do no good. Fire and rain enlisting in the army of a hurricane, in a hurricane. So Jack be nimble and Jill be quick. We'll jump over the candlestick. You to color in the lines won't get your due. You gotta go to the far out edge. Leave